260 C Beaver Scene and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. Panama City, Florida is cleaning up after a tornado touchdown. Eastern Massachusetts and Maine are getting hammered by high winds and heavy rain. And in between, CBS's Jared Hill says there's flooding and more.
The storm brought gusting winds that uprooted trees and heavy downpours that led to flooding throughout the mid-Atlantic and parts of lower New England.
It's a little miserable out. It'd be more fun if it was snow.
The snow did blanket parts of the Midwest, making driving dangerous in Nebraska and Iowa.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken has just wrapped up a visit with Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas in the occupied West Bank. The State Department says talks were productive, and the secretary reaffirmed the U.S. support for a two-state solution. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Blinken will also travel today to Bahrain to continue his efforts to try to prevent a widening of Israel's war with Hamas. At the U.N., the Palestinian ambassador said he and other Arab leaders would continue to push the Security Council to call for a ceasefire.
This is our compass. Everything we do, it has to lead us in the direction of a ceasefire.
There is still no end in sight to the war.
Alaska Airlines passengers are telling their stories about last week's door plug blowout. Kelly Bartlett says first there was a big bang.
We hear a big explosion. I keep calling it an explosion, a loud bang, and the plane filled with wind. The air masks dropped, and it was just really scary because you know that something is clearly wrong, but as passengers, we didn't know what.
NTSB investigators say they're looking into the possibility that bolts were improperly installed or not installed at all. Boeing 737 MAX 9 jets are grounded. The company's CEO promises accountability and transparency. Three GOP presidential candidates will make their pitches to Iowa voters in two separate events tonight.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley will debate on CNN. Former President Donald Trump will not, even though he qualified to be a part of it. He'll be participating in a Fox News town hall at the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Both events will take place in Des Moines, Iowa, just days before the state's first-in-the-nation caucuses on January 15th. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Trump's attorneys have been arguing his case for presidential immunity in a Washington appeals court. And CBS's Scott McFarland says some of those arguments had nothing to do with the case.
Donald Trump was sitting in the front row right behind his attorney, who synthesized into his legal arguments a criticism of President Biden's handling of the border, a criticism of former President Clinton, and the attorney also made reference to Trump being the leader in all the polls. That sounds like stuff from the campaign stump.
S&P futures down a half. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow fell in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until late on Tuesday. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Matinier that 40-mile-per-hour winds will keep driving hazardous until the snow ends.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired 8 of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Nate Wegehow, Civic Media News.
College basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles hope to get a win tonight as they host Butler. Marquette has dropped to 11 in the AP Top 25 after losing 2 of their last 4 games. A big upset last night in the Big Ten. Nebraska at home beat number 1 ranked Purdue 88-72. That's the first time the Cornhuskers have beat a number 1 ranked team since 1982. Badgers on the road tonight. They take on Ohio State. NFL, the Packers and the Cowboys Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Matt LaFleur with praise for Jordan Love, leading his team to the postseason his first year at quarterback.
You know, his family did a hell of a job raising him in terms of just what he's all about. great things are in store for him.
The New York Jets had a losing season after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon. He had this to say after meeting with his coaches.
Some things in every organization, and we did this for 18 years in Green Bay, the exit meetings are important to just get everything on the table that's happened, flush the bullshit that you need to move forward, and then refine your focus moving forward.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy today with a little bit of light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high 33 with wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, light snow likely. We could get an inch or so of accumulation by the time it ends late tonight. Our low 26 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 32 with some rain and measurable snow returning by Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I think hotels had a secret meeting recently. It was a very short meeting. Everyone flew in and they said, everybody here? All right, very quick. We're not going to own any mistakes anymore. All right, that's it. Head on back. How you doing? This key you gave me, I just tried it in my door. It's not working.
Did you put it next to anything magnetic?
No, you just gave it to me and I just tried it and I just came back. I was expecting a good key and an apology. And I'm holding a bad key and getting an accusation.
Did you put the key next to anything magnetic?
I am a red horseshoe magnet salesman. Okay. I know what happened now. I remember you gave me that perfectly good key, and I tossed that into my bag of samples. Then I scooped that up all haphazard-like and started swinging everything asunder. I remember hearing zipping and zapping. Was that the key becoming demagnetized?
Wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall.
Growing up today, what a Nikon camera is, or Kodachrome. Nobody knows what Kodachrome film is anymore. It was made by the Kodak company, and I think you can buy it online. I think people still stockpile the Kodachrome film. But you ask any high school person, do you know what Kodachrome film is? Not gonna know what Kodachrome film is. I don't think Steve knows what Kodachrome film
is. Yes, I most certainly do.
Okay. Just trying to find out how old you are there, Steve. I'm Don Rosen, and thanks for joining us here at 7:09 at WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio refreshed as Civic Media Station. And Steve is going to enlighten you. He's part of a landmark here in Racine that you probably drove by a million times. You might have looked at it because it is kind of interesting to look at. But you probably don't know what's inside that building. And that's the Racine Firehouse Museum. And Steve Salvo works with the Racine Bells, which operated, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, these are the Racine Bells. You see them in the 4th of July parade with the fire, not fire truck, no, fire trucks, I guess. But they also have, like, I guess these were, they were like food trucks, I guess, when you went to the, what are those big van-type trucks?
The Racine Fire Bells are a nonprofit volunteer service organization.
And these are not the, this is not the baseball team.
Correct.
Okay.
No, there's no E on the end of Bell.
Okay.
So the fire bells are a support auxiliary to local fire departments and police departments. So the vehicles that you're referring to are rehabilitation vehicles. The old term was canteen trucks.
Right, that's what I'm looking at. They use their food and stuff.
So they're actually, in most cases, they're typically old decommissioned ambulances that we are repurposing for that use. But the fire bells will show up at emergency scenes and provide water and coffee and Gatorade and snacks and such for police officers, firefighters that are going to be operating at a scene for long periods of time, especially in inclement weather like, you know, we've had in the last couple of days and so on.
Well, I digress from time to time in my interviews, and there was a Superman episode on the TV show Superman where just these trucks are called the Fireman's Friend. If these guys would come in the Fireman's Friend and serve coffee and everything to the firefighters and sandwiches and stuff because they're fighting these fires, then they put on these fire retardant suits and going to rob the place while the fire was on, then come back and continue to serve food for the firemen. But that's not what the Racine bells do.
Exactly.
That was in Superman, the TV series. Now, where is this building? It's a very unique looking building.
So the Firehouse 3 Museum is located at 700 6th Street, which is in downtown Racine. We are just kind of kitty corner from Racine City Hall. We're right across the traffic circle from Racine City Hall.
Okay, then that's not the building I'm thinking of. I'm not thinking of the one that looks like a castle, but that's not this one.
Correct.
I know where the one you are now, because I think it was on the tour of homes at one time, the Parade of Homes. I think we actually went in there.
It's possible that it was.
Yeah.
So the building you're thinking of is actually Old Racine Fire Station Number 1.
Okay, that's the
which is at 1412 Racine Street.
Right.
And is currently owned by SC Johnson.
What do they do with it?
To my knowledge, storage? I don't believe they do anything with it.
It's theirs.
The building is vacant. They own it, and I'm not aware that they use it for anything.
Okay, so this one is Kitty Cordy from City Hall at 706th Street. It's an old building.
That it is.
It was built when?
It was built in 1881, and it served as an active fire station for the city of Racine until 1968.
Decommissioned and was too old for the service of fire station then?
So in 1968, actually 1967, the city built the safety building, the combined police and fire station, which they are still operating out of today. And at the time that facility opened in 1968, the city closed three fire stations. They closed Fire Station 1, which was a kind of castle building that you're referring to. They closed Fire Station Number 3, which is our museum. And they closed what at the time was Fire Station Number 5. It was their old headquarters station, which was located at 4th and Wisconsin, right across from the Journal Times building. And they were able to close three buildings. This is kind of an interesting little tidbit. They were able to close three fire stations and combine them all into one building, because when those stations were originally built, they were built for horse-drawn fire apparatus. So they, out of necessity, had to be closer. Horses could only pull the heavy equipment so far. And so we moved to a period of time when all fire apparatus is motorized, and they realized they didn't need three fire stations in that one small footprint of area, so they were able to cover it all from the current safety building.
Do they have stables in those buildings for the horses?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they did. That's probably one of the things about the museum that I think most surprises people when they come through is the fact that the horses that pulled the fire apparatus actually lived in the building with the firefighters.
You know, and in New York City, they have what they call the hansom cab rides. And they also have police on horseback in New York City. And people are shocked to find out there's actually a giant stable in Midtown Manhattan. And I say to them, what do you think they did with the horses at night? I mean, what, they take them to a farm upstate New York? No, they actually have a stable building. It looks like a farm. It's right in the middle of Manhattan. That's where they keep the animals. In the back of Radio City Music Hall, they also have stables, because when they do the nativity scene at Christmas time, they got to put these animals somewhere. And so they built stables in the rear of Radio City Music Hall. So they do have stables. And so
in the earliest days, the City of Racine, I believe, was founded in 1843, and the Racine Fire Department was founded right around that time. And in the earliest days, when the fire department was volunteer, they did board the horses at a nearby livery stable because the firefighters were volunteers. There was nobody in the buildings to care for the horses around the clock, so the horses were boarded somewhere nearby. But once the fire department converted to a career fire department, the firemen were in the building 24/7, and so the horses were in the building 24/7. And if you come to the museum, you can still see some remnants of where they were.
I got to go there. Now that I know all this, I have to go check it out.
Yeah. The most obvious, if you look, the majority of the building has a wood floor, and towards the back of the building, it transitions to concrete, and everything from the concrete back is what was originally the stables. The hayloft is still there. There's an opening in the floor. So the hayloft was on the second floor, and there's an opening, about a 4 by 4 foot square opening in the corner of the building where the hay and oats and straw would be brought up to the second floor when they were delivered, and then they would be forked or shoveled down to the first floor stables as the horses needed it throughout the week. So
you still got the fire pole there?
Yes, we do.
You ever try it?
Years ago, we used to slide the pole routinely for school groups when they would come through, and our insurance carrier put a stop to that.
Really?
So, yes.
Is it that difficult? I've never tried it. It looks easy. Just great. I mean, in gym when I was
it's as easy as falling off of a log.
I mean, we used to do the ropes. We used to climb to the ceiling using the ropes. And then we slide down the ropes. It's got to be better than that because that burned when you wrapped it around your thighs and everything coming down too fast. But you don't do the demos anymore.
Correct.
Wow, that's too bad. But now, when is it open to the public, by the way?
So we don't, we're a small organization. We don't have a lot of members. And as such, we don't have regular hours. So what we do is we do open for public events in Racine. Starting in April, we'll be open for First Fridays.
You do so open. Okay.
We open on First Fridays, again, in the better weather. So typically from April through November, we're open for Party on the Pavement. Party on the Pavement is usually our biggest day of the year. Yeah. We typically get like 400 or 500 people through the museum during Party on the Pavement. We open for the downtown holiday parade and events like that. We also are more than happy to open for anywhere from one to any number of people. So I think in the past year, I probably gave 15 or more private tours. A lot of times we'll have retired firefighters' families will reach out and say, you know, my dad was a firefighter for the fire department in these years. And so they'll come through the museum and such. So
I'm pretty sure I went through that with my wife as part of the Parade of Homes. I thought they brought it through there, brought us through the museum. I can almost swear to it. I got to ask my wife about that. She would know more than I do. She has a much better memory than me. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about how you still accept members if people want to join the Racine Bells. We'll talk about that. I got so much to talk about with this and upcoming events and so forth. I'm floored that you're open that many times a year. Had I known that, I would have been in there. You know, it's one of those hidden treasures in Racine people don't know about.
I think we really are. A lot of people will come in and just as you started this segment and said, oh, I've walked past this building 1,000 times and I've never come in, or I've driven by it 1,000 times and I've never been in. People, they kind of think think it's kind of a non-entity, but the reality is, we're actually open quite often, and it's...
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Steve Salvo's here from the Firehouse Museum here in Racine. More coming up, 719 WRJN, a civic media station, hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything at Menards. We have everything to help you breathe easier. DuPont Plus Allergen Air Filters can reduce harmful airborne allergens by up to 80%. With antimicrobial protection built in, DuPont Air Filters last up to 3 months with optimal filter life and performance. 1-inch plus allergen filters are only $5.95 after 11% rebate. Good through October 8th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
At WRJN Radio, cloudy with 135 today, possibly 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight. Lows around 27, cloudy with 133 tomorrow. Right now, 33 degrees in Racine. It's cloudy, and Steve Salvo's here from the Racine Firehouse Museum. Now, how did the Racine Bell's name come into that? It's called the Racine Firehouse Museum, right?
It's a Firehouse 3 Museum.
Now, where's the 3 come from?
Because I saw that there. Was Fire Station number 3.
I'm slow, but not that slow. I'll catch on eventually. Let's talk about some of the exhibits you have there. And this goes back to the 1800s. And I always say that sounds old. My house goes back to just a little over the year 1900, I think 1906, 1910, something like that. But this is just a little older. This goes back to the 1800s. So tell us about some of the exhibits you have there.
So we're kind of excited. The most recent acquisition that we've got is a bell, and it's a bell from 1868. And back in 1868, there was a fire station. Would have been a volunteer fire station at the time. It basically shared the playground with Jane's School on Main Street. And so this is the bell that hung in the tower of that fire station and would call the volunteers when there was a fire. And in 1888, by then, the Racine Fire Department had converted to a career or full-time fire department, and they moved that station. More accurately, I guess they built a new station over at Lincoln and Barker Street, and they no longer had need for the bell. They donated the bell to the school, and so the bell has been in Jane's School since 1888. And so with Jane's School closing, we, as the museum, were well aware.
Are they closing?
Yes.
I live near Jane's School on Main Street. Oh, they're closing that, huh? They just redid it recently. They rebuilt a lot of the outside.
My understanding, yeah.
Wait, let's just end. According to Steve Salvo.
So one of our one of the members of our organization works for Unified and was aware that the bell was there and was aware of its connection, to fire history in Racine. And so we reached out to Unified and eventually we're able to negotiate its return to the fire department and
where is it in the school? Where do they keep it?
I believe it was right in the front lobby.
So
was never
could
in
see
that
it.
School.
Okay.
But yes, it was on display.
That's our version of the Liberty Bell.
Oh, sure.
okay.
Doesn't have the crack.
Okay.
Kind of interesting, and we're still kind of in the process of researching this, but again, the bell was cast in 1868, but in raised lettering on the bell, there's a reference. It says Fireman's Pet. And we think that is sort of a little bit of an offhand shot at the school. In the 1800s, volunteer firefighters were not necessarily the most desirable role models for school children. And so there was always some tension between the school and the volunteer fire station. Again, I'm talking about 1860s, 1870s. And so we suspect that when they
gave the bell to the school that they had this fireman's pet line added on the bell because it's raised. It's not engraved like it would have been when the bell was new. It's raised, and we suspect that was a little bit of a kind of a shot at the school over their the kind of poor relations that they'd had over the years. So
look at that. Okay, what else you got there?
So we're really fortunate. We have an 1882 Clapp & Jones, which is the manufacturer, horse-drawn steam fire engine. To our knowledge, this is the only one of Racine's, at one time Racine owned, I believe it was six steam fire engines. This is the only one still in existence. This particular piece of equipment has been in the possession of the Racine Fire Department its entire, so since 1882. We're just so fortunate that somebody through the years saw the foresight to keep this, to keep this somewhere. Many of these vehicles were simply sold for scrap, melted down. I have to imagine that during World War II, when there was metal shortages, that, you know, somebody had to have looked at this and said, hey, there's metal in this that could be used for the war effort. But somebody saw the foresight to maintain this. Steam fire engines are quite rare. Off the top of my head, I'd say there's probably fewer than 100 of them in the United States still in existence.
And this is on display at the museum.
And this is on display in the museum, exactly.
You know, you look at these old fire engines, you know, when they portray them in movies, and you wonder how they ever put the fires out with those things. They weren't like high-pressure hoses like they have today, but you just wonder how did they ever put... And the city was made of wood, so everything was going up in flames back in those days. Like, you know, when there was a major fire, there was a fire.
So, as a matter of fact, Racine's Great Fire was in May of 1882, and that's kind of what drove... Prior to that, Racine still had a volunteer fire department, and it was after the Great Fire of 1882. Just as you said, most of the buildings were built out of wood.
There were no fire codes either.
There were some, but they were quite limited. Yeah. So, the Great Fire of 1882 destroyed a good portion of downtown Racine, actually destroyed one of the volunteer firehouses, required assistance from Milwaukee Fire Department responded, the Kenosha Fire Department, the Chicago Fire Department actually came to render
assistance.
What year was that? 1882.
Okay. It looks like I can find any photos of that. That must have been horrible to look at. I mean, when it was in flames. That's got to be the most frightening thing to see because it spreads. Yeah. Again, these buildings are made of wood, so it just spreads.
So it's not a coincidence that our steamer at the museum was manufactured in 1882. It was one of two steamers, I believe, that were purchased that year after the Great Fire. The city realized that they had to improve their fire protection. Mm-hmm. And so they converted to a full-time fire department. They upgraded their equipment and such. So the museum building, which was built just before the fire, was built in 1881, was originally built for a volunteer. Again, it was at the time the fire department was volunteer. But after the Great Fire, they started to convert to a career fire department. And so the museum was actually the one of the first stations that housed full-time career firefighters in the city of Racine.
You have to think, too, were these horses spooked when they pulled up to these fires? It's got to be scary for these animals when they pull up to these giant flames and they just park the horses there while they put the fire out.
So fire horses are a little known but a fascinating aspect of history. Fire horses are legendary for their strength and for their loyalty and for their skill. These horses were actually highly trained.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Hold on a second. We're going to continue that. That's fascinating. I never knew they had specially trained horses for this. Because I always wonder, they pull up to these fires and these horses don't seem to be spooked. Steve Salvo's here, the Racine Firehouse Museum. And that's located on 6th Street. We'll talk more about where you can find it. It's 729 at WRJN Radio, a civic media station. Hometown Radio, refreshed. Stay where you are.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. It's a mixed bag of weather with devastating results from Florida to northern New England. Here's CBS's Jared Hill.
Parts of the Northeast, including New York, on down to the South, are bracing for more rain and storms today, while to the West, another bout of blizzard conditions and heavy snow.
Correspondent Cammy McCormick says Secretary of State Blinken has wrapped up talks with Mahmoud Abbas.
His meeting with the Palestinian president is part of an effort to rally the region behind a post-war plan for Gaza that would include concrete steps toward a Palestinian state.
With nearly 200 of his company's jets grounded after the Alaska Airlines blowout, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun makes these promises.
We're going to approach this, number one, acknowledging our mistake. We are going to approach it with 100% and complete transparency every step of the way.
Investigators are looking into the possibility of improperly installed bolts for the door plug that blew out. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focused on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the border. Congressman Brian Steil on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off, and you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mostly cloudy today with a little bit of light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high 33 with wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, light snow likely. We could get an inch or so of accumulation by the time it ends late tonight. Our low 26 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 32 with some rain and measurable snow returning by Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go. Go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
was right. It's always the same. It's just a shame. That's all. I could say day and you'd say night. Tell me it's black when I know that it's white. Always the same. It's just a shame. And that's all.
At WRGN, Steve Salvo's here with me, and he's one of the people responsible for the Firehouse Museum, which is located at 706th Street, kitty corner from City Hall. I got the mayor coming in Friday. I'll see what he knows about this. I'll put him on the spot right there. Mayor, you go to work every day. You can probably see it out his window. We'll see what he knows about it. So we were talking before we left about these horses, because I would have suspected that these horses would have been spooked when you bring them up to a fire, you know, with all the noise and all the flames. And, you know, horses would get spooked by that stuff. You say they're specially trained. Let's continue talking about that.
Yeah, so the fire horses were considered, it's kind of hard, I think, to understand this in our modern times here. But in the time of horse-drawn fire apparatus, the firefighters quite honestly were considered dime a dozen. They'd be hired off the street. All their training was on the job. Some would take to the job and would work for 30 or 40 years, and others would quit after, you know, a week or so. The horses, on the other hand, they had to be trained to carry out their duties. The horses cost significant amount of money. So the horses were viewed as a much more valuable asset, if you can believe it, than the firemen actually were. When they returned from a fire, if it was 10 degrees outside, it didn't matter how cold the firemen were, it didn't matter how wet they were, the horses had to be taken care of first. The horses had to be exercised. The horses had to be wiped down. The horses had to be fed and watered. Then the firemen could think about taking care of their own needs. So to your question about whether they were frightened by the exposure to the fire and such, to a certain extent, that was trained out of them. But at the same time, there was the person responsible for getting the apparatus to the scene. So the driver, once got to the scene, did not actually typically fight the fire. The driver would take responsibility for the horses. And if necessary, that meant unhitching the horses from the apparatus, covering them, leading them away to a safe area. A lot of times the bigger concern was if there was smoke. They couldn't leave the horses where they would be exposed to the smoke. So they'd have to walk the horses, you know, upwind of the fire to where they'd be away from the fire. And then the driver would stay with the horses and maintain their safety.
That's a lot of work.
It is, yeah.
You're supposed to be fighting the fire, and you got to take care of the horse. Well, that's the driver, you said, did that.
That would have been the driver. Yeah. Nowadays, the person who drives the fire apparatus also operates the fire apparatus. And in the time of the horse-drawn era, that was actually two separate jobs. So I've mentioned the steam fire engine that we have in the museum, and that required an engineer to operate the boiler on that machine, on that piece of apparatus. Much like an engineer to this day still maintains the boiler in a school or the boiler in some public building or whatever. So, but again, at that time you had a driver who was responsible for getting the vehicle there and taking care of the horses. And then the engineer was responsible for mechanically operating the steam fire engine. And then you had hosemen who would be the firemen actually applying the water onto the fires.
Now, how did they get the water out? It was steam operated, you said. So was it steam pressure that pushed the water out to get onto the fire?
Yeah, so it's a steam engine, much like a steam locomotive would move. The steam boiler, the steam engine, provided the propulsion. It did not move the vehicle, but it moved the pump. It operated the pump. So the water would be, at one time, it would have had to have been drafted, drawn from either the lake or the river or a cistern. Cisterns were basically holes in the street. brick-lined, like a well, if you will, that the fireman could drop a hard suction hose into and draw or draft the water out of that static water source. It wasn't until 1886, 1887, that Racine started to get fire hydrants to where the fire department could just hook up to a fire hydrant and get water that way. Otherwise, it had to come from a static water source.
This is a lot of work to fight a fire.
Yes, it is.
Back then. Now they pull up the truck, they hook up to a fire hydrant.
Well,
it's still a lot of work.
But I'm a retired firefighter after 33 years, and I'll tell you, it's still a lot of work. Yeah, so.
But you didn't have to worry about a horse. You didn't have to worry. I mean, there are a lot of things you had to be concerned about in the 1800s before you could even get the first water out. You got to worry about all, you know, you got a live animal here.
Yes.
And he's got to take you home.
Yes. Kind of an interesting story about the horses, too, is that the horses, when they were no longer fit for fire duty, because these steam fire apparatus were quite heavy to pull, they had to be retired. They couldn't be sold to, for example, the dairy to pull a dairy wagon. Because if a retired fire horse was pulling a dairy wagon down the street and the fire rigs went by, that retired fire horse was going to, you could not untrain a fire horse from being a fire horse. So they had to be retired basically to pasture where they would not be exposed to that anymore. So there's a lot of documented instances of that.
This is fascinating stuff. This is stuff people don't really. You see these old movies or old photographs of old, you know, horse-drawn fire apparatus, and you don't think what goes into this stuff, because this is an animal. It's not like a truck you pull into a garage, give it an oil change, and, you know, polish it up, and it's set. And it doesn't need really anybody staying with it overnight.
Well,
animals do.
Physically, it is an animal, but these horses were beloved by the men that worked with them.
How many were at each firehouse?
So, because Racine is a relatively flat city, the steamers could be pulled by two horses. If you went to, larger cities or cities with more hills in them, it was not uncommon to see a three horse hitch. Pardon the pun, but they needed the extra horsepower to pull that up the hills and such. So Racine managed with two. So along with the steamer, there had to be a hose cart that responded along with, because the steamer simply carried the pump. And that's all it was. It didn't have hose for spraying the water onto the fire. It didn't carry nozzles or any type of tools. So a separate hose cart had to run with the steam fire engine.
Brother.
So two horses would pull the steamer and two horses would pull the hose cart. Half the crew would ride on the steamer, half the crew would ride on the hose cart. So to answer your question, our building, the Firehouse 3 Museum, had four stables. So there would, at most, at one time, there would have been four horses.
Now, how much water did each pumper hold? I mean, couldn't have held that much water. And there were I don't think there were fire hydrants around in those days, were there? You said there were cisterns in the street.
Correct. So the steam fire engines carried no water for firefighting. The only water they carried was the water that was in the boiler that was heated to produce steam that operated the pump. So they, unlike today's modern fire apparatus, which carry anywhere from 500, maybe 750 gallons of water or more, these steamers, the only water they carried was the water that produced the steam that moved the pump.
But you can hook up to a fire hydrant today and get unlimited water, just about.
Right. And Racine's fire hydrant, Racine's water system dates back to, again, I think it's like 1887. One of the interesting things we have in the museum is we have a piece of Racine's original wooden water main. So the water mains, and this is common in most places, were originally...
I think, don't they still have some wooden ones underground in Racine?
Well, this was extricated. So to give a little bit of background to this, so about 20... some of your viewers, listeners, will probably be aware that Party on the Pavement dates back to when 6th Street was all torn up for construction. And the construction took, I think, close to 2 years to complete. And when the construction was done, the merchants along 6th Street were so happy the construction was finally done, they threw a party. And that was actually the first party on the pavement.
We used to joke about that, saying, we finally have a new street for cars. I'll tell you what, first day, let's close it down to all vehicles.
Yeah. And so while 6th Street was torn up for construction, Racine firefighters from Station 1 downtown would frequently walk down there to see what their accessibility was, because it was such a mess. So on a daily basis, they'd have to see what accessibility they had if there was a fire. And one day they're walking down there and they see this piece of wooden water main being unearthed from underground. The construction workers had no idea what it was, but thankfully the firemen did. And so they arranged to have it brought over to the museum where it's on display.
Look at
now.
That, just by accident. Yeah, that's great. I want to get this question in because I don't want to miss it. I heard, and it wasn't in Racine that I heard it, but at the top of firehouses, they had like a lookout thing on the roof, and people used to just stand up there and look for fires because there was no telephone system back, you know, then where people can call in and say 911 didn't exist. So does that firehouse have a lookout tower? I know the one that you said S.E. Johnson owns has a lookout tower, and that's what that castle lookout thing is. And the city was relatively small. There weren't skyscrapers or any tall buildings so they can see around it. Is that what, do they have one?
So, yes, that was a common feature of firehouses in Racine at the prior to the turn of the century, the last century.
Yeah, the last turn.
1800, yeah.
The
turn before this one, exactly. So the Firehouse 3 Museum did have a watchtower. Originally, it was considerably taller than what's there now. There was a wooden tower that extended up almost 4 stories. At some point, and we're not real clear on this, at some point, when the tower was no longer needed, it was removed, and I like to joke, now we have a stubby tower now, but that is not the actual tower. It looks almost, there's a railing around it that almost kind of gives the impression that it could have been the tower, but it is not the original tower that a fireman would have walked watch around.
Was that manned 24/7?
We're not sure. I suspect it was probably manned mostly at night when people would have been asleep and would not have been, you know, there would not have been pedestrian traffic out to kind of become aware of fires occurring. So, but we do have one of the things we're lucky at the museum is we do have a lot of old photographs, and we have a lot of photographs of that station at that time that shows the original tower. We have pictures showing the original stables. The stables have been removed from the building. You can tell where they were, but once the fire department motorized, they had no need for the stables. And so you can understand that they would have removed the stables to create more room in the building for their everyday operations. But we have pictures showing the horses that worked out of that building, the stables as they appeared, and a lot of great photographic history of the...
And you have the photographs hanging up there,
yes,
right?
Yes, they're on display.
You know, and you can't lose these things. And I could tell you about stories about radio stations losing valuable stuff because you don't think it's important at the time, so you just toss it. You know, people always talk about the good old days going back to the 1800s. Oh, what a simpler time. It was too simple. I mean, this story just explains how simple it was. I mean, now a fire truck shows up, they hose down the fire, and it's done. It was a whole, to quote my mother in her Yiddish, it's a whole mishigas when you wanted to fight a fire back in the 1800s. It wasn't that simple. You dealt with horses, you dealt with boiler trucks, you dealt with hose trucks, and you had to assemble all this stuff when you got to the fire.
And again, for my current firefighters that are still working out there, it's not easy today.
No, it's not easy today.
But yeah, there were certainly elements of, yes, exactly. I'm continually amazed by the level of technology that existed in the 1800s. So I think, again, a lot of your listeners might be surprised to know that from the time a fire call was received in the fire station until these horse-drawn apparatus were on the street and responding, this could be done in just about 1 minute of time. So they're hitching up these horses.
I'm sure they had it down to a science.
Well,
then.
There's a they
hold it right there. Sure. We're going to pick up right where you left off in just a moment here. It's 749 at WRJN Radio, a civic media station. Hometown Radio, refreshed more with Steve Salvo from the Firehouse Museum in Racine. Coming up in just a moment at WRJN Radio, 1400 AM, 99.9 and 98.1 FM.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
After the loss of a loved one, you or someone close to you might benefit from grief support. Hospice Alliance is here to help. As your community hospice, individual, group, and even children's programs are available to help. Serving Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about Hospice Alliance's services and grief assistance. Visit hospicealliance.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN.
At 7:52 at WRJN, Steve Salvo from the Racine Firehouse Museum, which is located kitty corner from City Hall at 700 6th Street. And we'll tell you again where you when you can tour the facility. It should be on a must-see list in Racine because you drive by it all the time and you say, oh, that's an interesting building. Huh, I wonder if they store things there. Yeah, they store history in there. That's what they store there. And I interrupted you. Do you remember where you were?
Yes, yeah. I was talking about how quickly the firefighters at that time could respond with horse-drawn apparatus. And what they used was what was called a hanging hitch or a suspended hitch. The harness would be suspended from the ceiling on a system of counterweights. And the horses were in their stall at the back of the building. And when a fire alarm was received, there was always a fireman on watch. And if anybody notices, yes, I'm using the word fireman because in the 1800s, they were firemen. They didn't become firefighters until, you know, quite more recently here. But so firemen in the 1800s, there was always someone on watch at the watch desk. And we still have our watch desk at the Firehouse 3 Museum. But when an alarm would come in, the fireman on watch would pull a cord, and that released an electromagnet on the stable doors. And the stable doors would open, and the horses were trained. We talked earlier about how well trained these horses were, and they were trained to take their spot exactly where they needed to be. Two horses in front of the steam fire engine, two horses in front of the hose cart. The fireman on watch would then pull another cord, and that would release the counterweights, and that would allow the harness to drop onto the all four horses' backs, basically simultaneously. All they had to do was close the collar around each horse's neck, attach the reins, and they could be out the door. That's how they were able to respond in as little as sometimes like 1 minute of time, which to me is just unfathomable to get a horse going where you want them to be going that quickly. So
I found a picture of the Racine Fire.
Okay.
That's downtown Racine after it was all burned out. Those buildings still there? Where was that? Do you know where that was?
I would have to look a little bit harder. It looks like it's probably about the 300 block of Main, I would guess. Yeah. So it's quite likely those buildings, you notice those, it's the brick, the masonry buildings are the ones that survived the fire.
Yeah, and you look at some of these pictures here. They have the Racine Fire. This is the one. Is this the one that's on
Racine
Street?
No, that is Station 2. That is Old Fire Station 2, which is on State Street. And honestly, looking at that picture, I'm not sure. There were two stations on that lot.
But you look what's out in front of it.
And there's the horses, exactly. It's very similar. We have that picture at the museum.
Like, do you really?
Oh, yes.
Probably where they got it from. Racine Fire Department, a legacy of courage. Yeah, that's there the horses sitting there just waiting for the next fire. I want to get some of the stuff in before we leave here. Well, let's get this stuff in first. You have a website online where people can read about it because I brought it up already. So, and what's the website?
So the Firehouse 3 Museum, again, is operated by the Racine Fire Bell. So you can find out about us and contact us through our Fire Bell pages. So the Racine Fire Bell Club is on Facebook. And then we have, if you just Google Racine Fire Bell Club, you'll find a website. We have a web presence. And then I can also give your listeners an email address if they want to reach out to us specifically to tour the museum. So, and again, we're more than happy. Other than, you know, again, we open for public events, First Friday, Party on the Pavement, things like that. But we are more than happy to open for even one person if they want to come through.
And by the way, if you Google Racine Fire Museum, you'll also come up with the website.
Yeah.
Google will help you find anything in the world.
Exactly.
And your next big event is coming up May 3rd. It's going to be Party on the Pavement.
No, Party on the Pavement is always in September. Party on the Pavement, right. I think, is the third Saturday in September.
First Friday.
So it'd be first Friday.
I'm slow. It's early in the morning. I don't handle mornings well. You have to understand that. I've only been doing it for 30 some odd years. I'll get used to it. Yeah, it's First Fridays in downtown Racine, May 3rd. Party on the Pavement is the third Saturday in September. And you're open for those events, plus other events, too.
Yes. For example, like this year, we opened for the downtown holiday parade, which runs right past the front of the building.
Yeah. And, you know, it's again, it's one of those things people drive past all the time. They never give it a second look. And that's not the only thing you drive past in Racine. There's so much history. We're all driving past every day. We pay no attention to what we're looking at here. Well, this has just been fascinating. And how long have you been? You've been a firefighter for the city of Racine, right?
No, I'm actually retired. I was.
But you were.
Yeah. I was with the Mount Pleasant Fire Department, okay. And then we converted to the South Shore Fire Department. So I'm retired after 33 years of service with the village of Mount Pleasant.
You know, there are two jobs I wouldn't want, and that's police and firefighting. Only because it looks dangerous, which it is. You have to deal with such devastation all the time, and I just wouldn't want to deal with something like that. And I'm glad there are people like you that do. So now you're retired, and it's your hobby. It's your retirement hobby, right?
Yeah, actually, I've actually been a member of the Fire Bells longer than I was a firefighter. I became a firefighter in 1988, and I've been a Fire Bell since, I think, 1985, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Steve, you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you.
And when these events come up, I want to get a hold of you again just to remind people, because people have a short memory. Steve Salvo from the Racine Fire Bells, which runs the Firehouse Museum.
Correct.
All right. I have the order here now. This is like I told him when they do the mafia in court, they got to have the big chart, the capo de capos. They get down to the main guy. That's what this is. So I'm glad you guys are handling it, because we can't let history go by. History's got to be part of our fabric, and I'm glad this is happening here. Thank you very much, Steve. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm Don Rosen. Back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. Tomorrow we're talking winter driving safety with the Racine Police Department. Christy Wilcox, a sergeant with the Racine Police, is going to be here. It's all at WRJN Radio, a hometown radio refresh, a civic media station.
News talk and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Opens this Friday at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
WRJN, your home for the Packers. 1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic.